This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Tan Chen Li. It is 7:06, Monday, the 14th of March, and the beginning of a new week. First, a quick recap on how global markets closed yesterday.
Markets was all in the red. US markets, Dow was down 0.7%, S&P 500 down 1.3%, Nasdaq down 2.2%, Asian markets, Nikkei was down 2%, Hang Seng down 1.6%, Shanghai Composite was up 0.4%, STI up 0.3%, and FBNKLCI down 0.8%.
So, to help us make sense as to why there was a bloodbath in the US and whether this will be repeated later today, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Like we say, markets up and down, especially the S&P 500 trading in volatile territory with no clear direction. Where do you see markets heading in the longer term or in the midterm?
Look, I think in the midterm, we're going to continue to see volatile markets. And all of that really comes down to the war interruption from Russia and Ukraine against what was already a background of higher commodity prices. So specifically with Russia and Ukraine, there is a large share of commodity exports from both nations in critical areas of the global economy, like oil and gas, obviously, with Russia, but also grains like wheat and corn from the Ukraine and Russia, and also sunflower oil. So, look, I think because of that, we're going to see, an obvious inventory drawdown on existing stocks, some interruptions to shipping, and probably not outright shortages for a while, but I think that that will happen. So I think that really that's what markets are pricing, and the overall effect is higher inflation, slower growth, and a rising risk of stagflation, which, of course, would be pretty bad for US stocks, indeed stocks all around the world, with the possible exception of those that benefit from higher prices, at least in the near term.
And the Federal Reserve, they're meeting on Wednesday. Do you think that they will raise interest rates by 25 basis points, 50 points, or maybe just put on everything on pause, considering all these risks that are accumulating in the global markets?
I think they will raise by that 25 basis points because they have to be seen to be doing something. They've already cut it from 50 to 25. But it's not clear whether we'll see further rate rises. And I think what the market will be most interested in, given that it seems certain that they will raise, is what they say about their balance sheet management, the quantitative easing. What we're seeing now is that the long end of the US interest rates, the US 10-year, is starting to rally. And so people are, so to say, becoming a little bit more nervous and starting to look for possible inversion, which is a condition where long-term interest rates get lower than near-term interest rates, so the 10-year versus the 2-year. That hasn't happened, but the curve is getting pretty flat. So that will make a lot of people nervous about a recession. If it were to invert, the recessions, it's not a certainty, but they typically come within 6 months to 18 months of a curve inversion.
The ASX 200 has fallen 5% in 2022, while US blue chips and other developed nation indices have fallen nearly 10%. What's been protecting Australian stocks from the contagion sell-off affecting other markets? And how much of it is actually due to the increase in commodity prices?
I think it's really, you said it right there, it's all to do with commodities, really. With the exception of Russia, the same is true of the other big markets that where the nations have high commodities production. So whether you're speaking about Canada, Brazil, Colombia, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, pretty much all of those markets have been moving upwards, some more so than others. On the other side of the ledger, the big commodity importers like Germany with their manufacturing have had a pretty rough ride. China's been going, so we say, down the middle because if we recall last year, they had a pretty aggressive program to try to get in front of commodity inflation within the Chinese economy, which seems to have been successful thus far. So, I think that it's all about commodities at this point. And, those markets that have or countries that have heavy commodities exports are probably going to be relatively better off in the period that lies ahead.
So where would you hide if we drill down and look at the Australian market? Which are the sectors that you think will give us some protection from the current volatility that we are seeing in global markets, aside from, let's say, commodity stocks?
Yeah, there's probably not much, really. The problem here is that we have, you know, significantly rising fuel prices in Australia and also in the US. Just this morning, you know, one of the major food companies, SPC Ardmona, it's privately held, it's not public, but they announced 20% increase on baked beans and some other products that they produce. So that's all going to start flowing through the system. And, you know, frankly, it's just a little bit difficult to find hedges to that sort of activity outside of the commodities complex. One could look at financials, but I think financials, as this curve flattens, they have been a relatively safe haven for a little while with the yield, but I think even that's going to start to unwind later. The one area where I think investors could look to be positioning to buy is in the real estate investment trust area, because they are naturally hedges to long-term inflation through rising rents, and I think we will see more activity from investors there.
A Bloomberg report highlighted Malaysia's safe haven status in the region, being a net exporter of oil and agricultural products. Would you agree with this view? And would you see Malaysia stocks performing?
Definitely. Malaysia's in a comparatively good spot here. And I say that with full recognition that the Malaysian market has struggled for quite some years, ever since the oil price weakened in 2014. So, you know, maybe this is the big turn. And I would emphasise that in addition to the crude oil, you know, those agricultural products, particularly crude palm oil, are very, very important, clearly, to incomes in Malaysia, at least in that sector, but also to the balance of payments. So I think Malaysia will probably do reasonably well. And clearly some of the big agricultural trading companies in Malaysia that are diversified, you know, Sime Darby and others, IOI, I think that they have a pretty good place to hide. And there's not too many companies worldwide that have that sort of mix of assets and provide inflation hedges. So I think you'll see global investors getting more familiar with Malaysia and actually becoming a lot more positive about what the Malaysian bourse has to offer on the Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange.
One last question from us, Kingsley, and that's about European stocks. I mean, of course, taking a deep hit, bad hit from what's happening in Ukraine. Do you see any bargain hunting there, though?
Look, there certainly will be some bargain hunting. I think one place in the very near term is there are a number of banks listed in places like Italy and Austria and France that have a big business in Eastern Europe generally, but specifically they do have you know, business also in Russia. So they're being priced down a lot just purely for Russian business. But in the context of the larger bank, it's not necessarily that material. So I do think there'll be some bargain hunting there because the conditions for manufacturing in Europe are going to be pretty poor. And I think you'll see the ECB move at some point to support the economy because it's very difficult for us to see Europe getting through this without a recession.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his views on global markets and it's going to be volatile. Malaysia is a defensive safe haven. And like he highlighted, we haven't had much luck when it comes to the performance of Bursa Malaysia since 2014. Yeah, we are clearly a laggard market, even on a 10-year basis. Almost every other market in Southeast Asia has done better than us.
And actually,
maybe it's time for us to shine now.
Yes, and actually Indonesia is in the same shoe as Malaysia as well, because they are also the two exporters. I mean, we and Indonesia, two big exporters of palm oil commodities. So these countries with commodities are doing very well.
I'm not sure we're doing very well. We're doing better relatively to the rest of the world.
Yes.
At least we are net energy exporter. And also we have palm oil, which, you know, prices have hit all-time high. So a little bit better, but I think there is some patches of economic weakness on the ground for sure.
Yes. So apparently, according to an article I was looking at on Bloomberg, performance of the bourse of Jakarta, they didn't really fall a lot at 0%. And Malaysia only negative 1.2.
Currently, this morning, actually on a year-to-date basis, based on Friday's performance, we're relatively also flat at the moment.
Yes.
So maybe some interest back into Malaysia. And very quickly, this is something some people might be interested in. And this is, of course, according to people familiar with the matter as opposed to not familiar with the matter, singer-turned-fashion entrepreneur Rihanna is working with advisors on an IPO that could value her Savage X Fenty lingerie company at $3 billion or more. She hasn't released an album since 2016, if I'm not wrong, but she's clearly trying to make a lot of money from her brands.
I didn't know you're a Rihanna fan.
Not really, but I did read up on this.
So yes, the IPO was actually planned to be listed this year, but they haven't made a final decision yet, and it could still change. In January, the company raised $125 million in a funding round already, which is pretty impressive, I would have to say.
You know, she's worth quite a lot of money. But we'll be following this story because at the moment, with markets as it is, actually, it's been rather quiet on the M&A and also on the IPO front. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.